Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
From Gimlet, I'm Josh Muccio, and this is The Pitch. On today's episode, you. I know this week a lot of you are at home, likely suffering from a post-holiday hangover, and probably could use a few minutes away from your family. I got you. A couple of episodes ago, we asked you for your questions about the show, entrepreneurship, or anything else you had on your mind, and you delivered. So today, we're answering those questions with the help of a few people, including a couple of our investors, and even my boss. First question. Lewis in DC called in with this.
I've been doing some research on my own about startups and entrepreneurship, and it seems like a lot of the time, people who manage to create a successful startup tend to be like in their late 30s and 40s range. For someone who's young and ambitious like myself, I was just wondering what kind of experiences you think would be worth going for. So whenever you're investing in these new companies, would you look for someone who has more experience with like schoolwork? Do they have their MBA, or do they have more experience out in the field with jobs? I'd like to know your input. You have been doing a great job with the show. It's one of my favorites, and hope to hear back from you guys.
This called for a more expert opinion. Luckily, I knew just who to call. Here's pitch investor Phil Nadel from Forefront Venture Partners with his advice for aspiring entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And when we look at potential investments and we look at the founding team, we like to see startup experience. A college degree is definitely important, but it's not required. I think it's more important if they've had experience with a startup, whether it succeeded or not, they will have learned valuable lessons, which invariably they will take and use in this current company that they're running.
Let me make sure I'm getting this right. You're saying that experience is more valuable than formal education?
For us, yes. We certainly like to see a college degree. I think when you have to go through a college program, whether undergraduate or graduate, it teaches you to think in a slightly different way and to tackle problems differently. So I think that the discipline of having gone through that, I think, is important. But to your point, I don't see it as a prerequisite. And I personally view experience as a more important, specifically startup experience.
All right. Well, thanks, Phil. Before you go, any final words of advice for Lewis?
Just keep your eyes and ears open. There are problems that all of us encounter every day that can be solved in creative ways. But most of the time, we take those things for granted. We just overlook them, and we think to ourselves subconsciously, that's just the way it is. But great entrepreneurs don't overlook those problems. They look for solutions, for creative solutions. So just look for those opportunities in day-to-day life and be more attuned to them. Then I think that that opportunities to start a company will become more apparent.
That was Phil Nadel. Next, we turn to another familiar voice, Daniel Galati from Comcast Ventures, for an answer to this question from Josh in Austin, Texas.
While it seems most companies pitching are startups that are pre-revenue or barely established in the market, do investors consider companies 5 to 10 years old with revenue but looking to grow faster? Case in point, my company, The Refined Feline, is 10 years old and self-funded with over $2 million in revenue. I'm realizing my aversion to funding may have slowed my growth. Do investors even want to hear from a company like mine?
Short answer is yes. I think the way that investors think about it is, you know, is this company raising money to create or are they raising money to scale, right? I would say it's actually probably more common than not to be in a situation where you are raising money to scale versus raising money to create. In your specific situation, you have a situation where you haven't raised money before, and that's kind of what's a little bit different here. And so what needs to happen is kind of a shift in mindset, right, from the entrepreneur, which is I've spent the past 5 or 10 years, however long it is, building this self-sustaining, kind of profitable company and kind of trading off growth in the meantime. Whereas, you know, now I've really got to change my mindset where if I'm raising, you know, the money that I want to go out and raise, I now am on the hook to grow a lot faster than I have grown. And that may mean doing things like, you know, being more aggressive on hiring folks. That may mean things like, you know, firing certain members of the team and bringing in more senior members or more experienced folks that can take the business to sort of another level.
Yeah, totally. Thanks, Daniel. Any last nuggets of wisdom you want to leave with Josh?
I think as long as the entrepreneur is kind of on board with a different mindset, I actually think those businesses can be the best investment opportunities because, you know, as an investor, you've actually checked off a lot of the risks that come with investing, right? You've checked off the fact that there is demand for that company's product. You've checked off the fact that the team has grit and can kind of sustainably manage a company. So that there are a lot of things to like actually about those sorts of opportunities, but it does require some adjustment, you know, from the entrepreneur before and after they take in that growth capital.
That was Daniel Galati from Comcast Ventures. After the break, we have a conversation with my boss, Alex Bloomberg.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Welcome back. The last question comes actually from an unknown caller who's asking something a bit more personal.
Hi there. So my question is, since being acquired by Gimlet, has the whole process been worth it for you? And how's the show going so far?
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Alex Bloomberg. I'm the CEO of Gimlet.
Well, welcome to the pitch, Alex.
Thank you. Welcome to Gimlet.
For the listeners who don't know this, I started the pitch in 2015 originally with Sheel Manat, who was an investor out in Silicon Valley. And when we first started, totally different show than what it became earlier in this year when the show got picked up by Gimlet. It's actually hard to believe. It's only been 10 months.
God, That's crazy.
Since we joined.
That's wild. Yeah, that is hard to believe.
So seeing as how it's only been 10 months, how do you think it's been going?
I think it's been going great. Yeah.
You don't have to say that just because we're...
No.
On a podcast.
Yeah. I think it's been going great. I think the show is sounding better and better. I feel like everything about it, the pacing, the production, the writing, I think the level of quality, you know, the sort of like the companies that are on are interesting. And I'm also just like happy to have it as part of our portfolio. Like, I feel like you're doing something new, you're trying something new. And I like your ambition for it. Like, I like the way you're thinking about like, how do we grow the audience? How do we do more? How do we keep building?
And yeah, I definitely feel like I'm still an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Doing the show.
And that's really nice. And I feel like that's good for the show. I think it's good for you. That's good for us. I think it's good for the culture of Gimlet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think every show is, in a certain way, its own little startup, you know?
Totally.
And they have to, like, sort of, like, all... I mean, we give them... As a company, we can give them lots of support. Like, we're paying for the staff and paying for salaries and, you know, and helping with marketing and helping with sort of, like, cross-promotion. But at a certain point, like, it only works if the show is sort of... If the people on the show and the hosts are sort of, like, putting the same kind of effort into it,
yeah,
as well.
I wanted to ask you about that. Because joining Gimlet... Like, I almost have, like... I can relate to this question because 11 months ago, I was viewing Gimlet, like wondering what it was like behind the curtain.
Right.
And then within like 2 months, I'm behind the curtain.
Right.
And like the first thing is, and I know Devin, editor Devin Taylor at Gimlet Media, we've talked about this several times. Like there was this moment maybe about a month in after we joined, but we hadn't published the first episode with Gimlet. So we were hard at work, super excited about what we were building. And we sat there, we're like, so at one point is Gimlet going to come Gimletize our show? When are we going to get the Gimlet sound? Like, when are the overlords going to come in and be like, all right, so we liked your show, but these are the 10 things we wanted to change to make it better. Uh-huh. And so now is that time. Let's step it up. You're in the big leagues now. I think we actually asked Caitlin. So like, are we just supposed to just like, what's happening? And she's like, no, you just make the show. Just keep making the show. We're like, well, at what point do you tell us what we're doing wrong? And
that's really funny.
I still don't know actually what that point is. It's
but you thought that it was going to be more like there was going to be a lot more changing of the show, or a lot more sort of like editing, or a lot more sort of like, yeah.
I thought you were going to take this like, you know, germ of an idea that was working kind of well and make it 10 times better.
Right.
Where instead you're like, here's what we know. We're here to support you. Now go make it 10 times better.
Right.
And so the onus was on us. But what's also weird is like, we definitely held ourselves to a different standard. We, like, without your help, we would take a look at every episode. And I remember having several conversations where it was like, is this Gimlet? Like, are we meeting Gimlet? You know what? I think we can do better. Let's go back to the drawing board.
Wow. Well, that's really exciting to hear. Yeah. No, I think I can understand why you would think that, because like, in a certain way, like I thought that too. I think when I started Gimlet, that there would be there's a world in which like Gimlet, or like whoever Gimlet is, and Gimlet is like what, me or, you know, whatever, it's Caitlin, you know, like the first people at Gimlet who sort of like helped, you know, or like PJ and Alex, or you know, like the people who sort of like helped pioneer the first couple of podcasts and what I guess is sort of known as the Gimlet sound.
Yeah.
If it was just those people and like everybody else was just like doing a story or two here and there, then I think it would be the thing that you're talking about, where like new people would come in and slot in and like we would like massage their stories and sort of make it a very much a thing. But like, if what we're doing is expanding the portfolio of shows, then we're not the Gimlet is everybody that we bring on.
Right.
Gimlet changes. Gimlet becomes the new people.
There
that
are
we bring
no
on.
Rules for what is the Gimlet sound.
There are no rules for what is the Gimlet sound. And in fact, that was why we wanted to acquire your show. Because you had we were like, oh, you can, you will fit in because you, because of this thing that we're talking about, because you, because I'd learned that lesson by now. Like I can't, we, Gimlet can't do it for people. Like people have to do it themselves. Uh-huh. And Gimlet can only support, but Gimlet can't create the vision. Gimlet can't figure out what is the best way to go forward and do it. And like, cause Gimlet is just people.
Got it.
So that essential question is sort of like, when are they going to come and,
and tell us what our vision is?
Make it 10 yeah. times better. We don't know. It's your show. Right. And like, so you're the one who has to sort of like figure out like, okay, what'll make this 10 times better? And that's what I've been, that's what I'm like, that, and that's why I'm so happy is because like, not everybody necessarily rises to that challenge, right. or not everybody is interested in taking that on.
Oh, yeah. Well, happy holidays.
Yeah, thank you. Back at you. But let me, I think the caller's original question was, has it been worth it? Which I think is definitely, like for us, has definitely been worth it. How has it been worth it for you?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks again to all of our listeners who submitted questions and our resident experts, Phil Nadel and Daniel Galati, and Alex Bloomberg, who helped us answer them. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new round of pitches. And until then, we're wishing everyone a bright and shiny new year. See you in a couple weeks. Our show is produced by me, Josh Muccio, Molly Donahue, and Kareem Maddox. We are edited by Devin Taylor. Our theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder, with original music composed by The Musemaker and Bobby Lord. We were mixed by Enoch Kim, with help from Matt Bowl. You can find us on Twitter at The Pitch Show, and our email is thepitch@gimletmedia.com. All right, you've been listening to The Pitch from Gimlet Media. See you in the new year.
When you were like, when you were talking to Devin, it's like sort of, when are they going to come?
Uh-huh.
And like sort of gimletize it. It's happened, my friend.
It's in my head. It,
you have become it. The system is working.